Welcome to the Thrive Vineyard Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Kevin Kiefer. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit thrivevineyard.com.
How are we doing? Good to see you guys. So, here's some news. Someone at Thrive recently and unexpectedly came into some money. Nothing amazing. Think like tens of dollars, not hundreds or thousands of dollars. Nothing too amazing. But unexpected money is always kind of a fun thing, isn't it? It's always fun to like just get money out of nowhere. Have you ever found money before? I once found $40. And I was so excited. I found two $20 bills on the ground somewhere. And that was like 20 years ago. I still remember it today. What I don't remember is how I frittered away those $40. But it was like such a fun thing to actually find that money. And this person that had come into this little bit of money here at Thrive, unlike myself, they felt like that this money that they had come into wasn't for them and that God was inviting them and asking them to pass it along. And they didn't quite know what to do with it. And so this woman said to Molly, I don't feel like I'm supposed to keep this. I'm supposed to give it away. What do I do with this? And Molly said what she always says, which is ask God, right? So she said, ask the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will tell you what to do with this money. And this very obedient woman did exactly that. She went to the Lord and said, what should I do with this? And the Lord put this person in her path. I think it was a rather unlikely person. I'm not sure that they have too much of a relationship, but this woman passed that money on. And as far as I know, I've been a little bit a part of this, that money changed hands at least two times. And in a small way, what I want to say about that is that this is kind of a cool microcosm, I think, of the story of Christmas. And I'll explain that. But here's the thing. I got this sense that, you know, the sum of this money wasn't significant, but the spiritual impact and actually possibly even the emotional impact of this little act of obedience was actually much more significant. And if you've been here for the last couple of weeks, you probably know that we are in the middle of a Christmas sermon series called Unwrapping the Gift of God's Presence. Unwrapping the Gift of God's Presence. And I have been thinking a lot about this absolute gold mine that we all are experiencing if we are in Christ, which is the very presence of Jesus dwelling in our hearts. Because if we have God dwelling in our hearts, that means that we are literally full of God's presence. We are full of his love. We're full of God's peace. We're full of his hope. We're full of his goodness. And we're even full of some pretty amazing stuff like God's wisdom and his power. And the Apostle Paul explained it this way in his letter to the Corinthian church, the first of his letters. He said, do you not know that you are a house of God and that the Holy Spirit lives in you? Does that not strike you as rather profound? It's an amazing thing that you are a house of God and the Holy Spirit lives in you. Now, we talk about this place being a house of God on a pretty regular basis, and you've heard me say many times that wherever two people or more are gathered in the name of Jesus, God says that I am particularly present. I'm very present in the midst of you, right? That God is here, but equally true is the fact that you are full of the presence of God. And when I say presence of God, I'm talking about the top one, capital P with a C-E at the end. But I also would submit to you that we are not only full of the presence C-E, but we are also full of God's presence with a T at the end. Now, presence with a T is a really, really big deal, around these parts. And in Molly's family, it's a particularly big deal. Molly is a Velada. She was born a Velada. She's now a Kiefer, thank the Lord. But when I first married into the Velada family, I was blown away by the presence. Like, it is a C. That kind of captures it a little bit. It was like a sea of presents. I was like, whoa, what is going on here? You would have to kind of like dig and dig and dig to get to the tree finally, you know? So it was a very, very big deal. And they have moderated considerably. But I share that because we are also full of presents. Like, we are full of gifts to give. If we have the presents with a C-E at the end, we also have presents with a T at the end to give away. If you are in Christ, then because of the Spirit of God that lives in you, there are some people in your life that deeply and dearly need encouragement. And you have this deposit of courage to give those who are discouraged. It is actually in you. There are people in your life that need just a helping hand. And you have strong arms and hands to bring help to someone. Do you know that there are people in your life that are perplexed and they are overwhelmed and they're not sure to go, whether they should go to the right or to the left? And God has given you his spirit of wisdom and his spirit of discernment, and you have wisdom to share with people. There are people in your life that are in trouble. There are people in your life that are sick. There are people that so desperately need prayer from someone, and God has given you the ability to pray powerful prayers, prayers that change the world, prayers that change things. It is in you. You have that to give. There are people in your life that are lonely. There are people in your life that are feeling lost, feeling alone, feeling isolated, and you have friendship to give, and you have kindness to give, and you have mercy to give them. We have a lot of presents to give away. Would you agree with that? The old people here may remember a guy named Burt Bacharach. He's saying, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love, blah, 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 blah," right? So that's Burt. That's his take on it. I think I would say this: what the world needs now are Christians who would give away the stuff that God has given them, right? That's what the world needs. And the great thing about these presents is that they don't need to be wrapped. And I am so thankful for that. Is there anybody else here that loathes wrapping? I hate wrapping. I just can't do it. And I have actually just leaned into my inability to wrap. So everything that I wrap looks horrible. And I'm hoping that Molly will just rescue me. I'm hoping that she just says, fine, I'll do it. She hasn't quite done that. She's only wrapping about 90% of our gifts. I'm hoping to crank her up to about 95 this year, and then I'll be out of it completely next year, right? But I love that these presents don't need to be wrapped up. And so we are full, filled to the brim with the presence, C-E, of God, but we're also filled to the brim with presence with a T at the end. And I'm going to give you some scripture that is going to kind of drill this into our hearts. First one comes from Paul in his second letter to the Corinthians, and he said this. And this is a pretty amazing thing, I think. "We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear," Paul says, "that our great power is from God and not from ourselves." Let me read that again. "We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. And this makes it clear," he says, "that our great power is from God and not from ourselves." Fragile clay jars that contain incredible treasure, that contain great power, that contain shining light. That is us, full of God, full of his presence, full of his presence to give. And that makes us a people, I believe, of great effect. That makes us a people who change things. We are supernatural catalysts that change the atmosphere around us and literally can change lives. Would you agree? Are you unsure of this? Okay, you guys got real quiet. I'm going to convince you. But here's the thing that I find interesting, and it's this. I don't know, in spite of all of that, in spite of what is true about us, I don't know if you've noticed it, but we Christians have an image problem today. We are not well regarded, and we are increasingly being disregarded and marginalized and misunderstood. And it's interesting because I had written this little bit of the sermon several days ago, but yesterday I came across this TikTok, and this interviewer was interviewing, this particular TikTok was her interviewing these two young women, and they were doing this, would you rather, when it comes to who you would rather marry? And she was giving career occupations. And so this woman said, hey, ladies, would you rather marry the CEO of an oil tanker company or a Christian minister? And these two young ladies said, literally, this is what they said. They said, we would rather marry the guy that causes the oil spills in the ocean than marry a Christian minister. And it's like dagger right through the heart. But there may have been a day where to be a Christian was to be seen as respectable. There may have been a day where to be a Christian was to be seen as moral and good, and to not be a Christian was to be seen as sort of a heathen or a pagan or a rebel or something like that. But those days are gone, and they're going faster still. And now we Christians are thought of as judgmental, we are ignorant, we are backwards, we're on the wrong side of history and the wrong side of the Enlightenment. And for all of the amazing goodness and power that we carry, we are viewed now with suspicion and judgment and misunderstanding in a world that is so full of emptiness and so full of loneliness and idolatry. But I actually think, you guys, that is actually in some ways a powerful thing, because what it means is that our light can shine even more brightly in an increasing darkness, in an increasingly dark atmosphere. And we will be misunderstood, and we will be judged, and we will be maligned, and that is okay. It's okay. It's fine. And I am here today to tell you guys that the birth of Christ can actually become a roadmap to us to glorifying God and to bringing healing to the world. And it is in a way that is so shockingly simple. And what I want to proclaim to you guys as clearly as I can is that as we endeavor to understand the Christmas story, the most powerful thing that we could do to understand the Christmas story is to enter into it and to become a living part of the Christmas story. And that is what I want to commend to us for the rest of my time. Now, of course, there are many different ways to know about and to experience the Christmas story. We sang about the Christmas story in our time of worship. We'll read about the Christmas story in the Gospels. We'll celebrate it with our families. But one of the most important things that we can ever do to unwrap the gift of God's presence and to fully receive this is to declare to ourselves and to the world around us that we ourselves are God's gift to be unwrapped to a world in need of a gift. You are the present to be unwrapped. You are God's gift. And when Jesus came to earth to give himself to us, he actually commissioned us to become the very same gift that he was. And I'm going to verify that by something that Jesus preached during his Sermon on the Mount. And here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. He said this, and this is stunning to me. It's absolutely profound. He said, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. And he said, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. How would you like that for a description of your life or even a title? Hey, I'm Kevin, light of the world. Darn glad to meet you. Right? It's a pretty profound thing, but that is who we are. Jesus, this isn't hyperbole. He's not waxing rhapsodic here. He's saying this is who you are. You are the light of the world. I've made a light in you to show the truth of who my Father is. That's the light that comes out of your life. I've made a light in you that glorifies God, that reveals his goodness and his character and his love and his mercy. That light is in you if you will let it shine out. You are a city on a hill by which people can orient their lives. People could look at your life and they could say, I don't know where I'm going. My life is messed up. I'm confused about everything, but I see something in your life.
And I see that there's something different about you, and I want to live like you do. Your life is a city on a hill that God can use to bring people into his presence, that can bring truth into their lives and help into their lives. I'm excited about this. You have so much to give. You have no idea. And a couple of weeks ago, I preached a sermon to you guys, and I just said to you, this is one of those sermons where I want you to do nothing. I want you to just receive from the Lord. Today is a sermon where I want you to do everything. This is a let's get to work sermon. So for the rest of our time, I'm going to give you some tools that are going to help you to be a light, to be the gift, the present that can be unwrapped for the world. And so if you're wondering what might this actually look like, I have four gifts, four presents that you can present to the world, that you can represent in the name of Jesus. And because I'm a preacher, all of these gifts have to start with the same letter, and I chose the letter H. So there are four things that we will get to do. You get to offer gifts of hugs and help and healing and heartening. Heartening was my tough one. I was like, where's that last H? It's heartening. Okay, so let's talk about hugs. Here's what I mean by hugs. Earlier this week, I think it was on Monday, I was at Panera doing my work, and I ran into one of the workers there that I have built up a friendship with. And this, I saw this young woman, and I said, "Hey, how's it going? Are you excited about Christmas?" is what I said. And she very flatly looked at me, and she said, "I am not excited about Christmas." And I said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "Everyone around me is so hyped up. Everyone around me is so happy and they're so excited, and I feel nothing but depression around Christmas." And she said, "Being around here makes it even worse because I feel all this pressure to be something that I am not and to feel something I'm not." And she said, "Christmas makes me feel more alone than I already am." And she began to tear up. And very thankfully, I was worried that this was going to become a hard moment for her, and she actually was called to help someone, so I was thankful for that. But the reality, you guys, is that Christmas is actually a time where people are in deep need. Many people need a spiritual hug, an emotional hug, maybe even a physical hug, because we just get so banged up in life. Life is hard, and for many people, Christmas exacerbates it. It makes it harder. It makes people feel more alone, more lonely, more isolated, more misunderstood. And I just wonder, you guys, what might it be like if you were to decide, "I am going to just be so generous with hugs this season. I'm going to be so lavish. I'm just going to give hugs of kindness and hugs of mercy, sometimes even physical hugs. I'm just going to throw the love of the Father, the love of Jesus all over the place." How healing could it be for someone in your life to just receive a lavish expression of love and care and tenderness from you? It would be so healing to people, and you have that gift. So the first present that we get to represent, that we get to unwrap for people, are hugs. The second one is this, help. The second present that we get to unwrap is the gift of help. And I wondered if you guys were aware of the fact that we have the Holy Spirit living inside us. Are you with me on that part? And that one of the names of the Holy Spirit actually begins with H and it ends with helper. Are you aware of that? The Holy Spirit is our helper, and we get to represent that Spirit, the God Spirit, to the world around us. Here's what Jesus said in John chapter 14. He said, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." And so we have the helper in us. But not everyone who needs help has the helper unless we become the helper to them. Amen? Lots of people need help. Lots of people want help. But they will not have access to the helper unless you, who have the helper in you, capital H, can be the helper, little h, to that person.
Paul wrote this in Galatians chapter 5. He said this, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. And I don't know if you have noticed this or not, but we are a Spirit-fed, Spirit-led, Spirit-filled church. And there are many very spiritual people in this room. And I know that you guys want to be led by the Holy Spirit. And if you want to keep in step with the Holy Spirit in the midst of the craziness of life and the stress of the holidays and even the spiritual warfare that is going on, I wonder what it would be like if in the name of Jesus, we started to put this little verse on our lips. How can I help? What if we came alongside people and asked the Spirit of God, what are you doing? What is the need of this person? Where are they feeling like they need a little bit of help? And we would just start coming alongside whoever it is. And this would be amazing at home, but it would be amazing anywhere to just say, how can I help? I'm here for you. I want to bless you. What can I do? That is the work of the Holy Spirit. And if you want to be very spiritual, come alongside people and just begin to help. Amen? You guys with me so far? Two more. Next one is healing. We get to open presence of healing. Acts chapter 3, this is after the ascension of Jesus. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. And as they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. And each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate. And so that he could beg from the people going into the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. And Peter and John looked at him intently. I wish I could have been there. There's lots of moments in Scripture where it would have been fascinating to see. This is one of those for me. Peter and John looked at him intently. And Peter said, look at us. And the lame man, looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus the Nazarene, get up and walk. And Peter took the lame man by the hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. And he jumped up and he stood on his feet and he began to walk. And then walking and leaping and praising God, he went into the temple with them. I want to do a little survey. How many of you believe, and you don't, if you're uncomfortable, you don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you believe that God is a healing God? Lots of you. That's good. How many of you guys believe that God still heals today? Here's a tough one. I had somebody say no at last service on this one. How many of you believe that God can work through you in the area of healing? Okay, very good. Here's what I want to say. If you answered yes to any of those questions, what are you doing about it? If you answered yes to any one of those questions, what are you currently doing about it? And I want you to think about this. Are you generously giving away the deposit that God has put into your life? And I just want you to imagine for a moment, what would it be like to be healed? What would it be like to receive a healing? Now, there are some of us in the room, we don't have to think very hard about that because we think about that every day. There are some of us that have chronic pain like I do. There are some of us that have cancer. There are some of us that have infertility. There are some of us that have all kinds of issues. And we think about healing every single day of our lives. And for those of us that are in that boat, I promise you that we would give up all of the presents under the Christmas tree if we could receive that healing. We would give up time with family if we could receive that healing. We would give up nearly anything if we could simply be healed. And I want to ask you, if God is the healing God and we are the conduits of that light and that life and that power, what are you doing about it? I'm going to share the story of a woman who is desperately in need of a healing. It comes from Mark chapter 5, and it says a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, and she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, and yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. By the way, this is a cool thing of the Bible. The doctor, Luke, informed Mark here. This adds more detail about this woman's condition, that she had suffered so much. Other gospels don't include this, but there's so much compassion in this version of it. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors, and she had spent all the money that she had, and yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. And at once, Jesus realized that the power had gone out of him, and he turned around in the crowd, and he asked, who touched my clothes? The disciples said, you see the people crowding against you, and yet you ask who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. This is so cool. I am not aware of another time in Scripture where Jesus called a woman daughter. He often called woman, woman, or their name. But here he was so tender with this dear woman. And she was so afraid because she had done a very uncool thing. She was struggling with an issue of menstrual blood that was perpetual, and that made her unclean, and she was an outcast of her community. She wasn't supposed to be around people, much less touch anyone, because if she touched them, they would become unclean. This was a completely taboo thing to do, and she was found out by Jesus, and when she touched him, she stole her healing from him, and he had nothing but compassion and care and protection for this dear woman. And we are surrounded by people who are equally desperate for a healing, just as desperate as this woman. And sadly, the world is populated by Christians who carry the spirit of power. They have the presence of Jesus to heal the sick, but they won't give the gift away. Too many of us won't allow God to give that gift of healing because we don't want to put our reputation on the line. We have his presence, but we won't give the gifts. But I just want to say, what if it worked? What if it worked? What if you stepped out and you said, could I pray for you right now? And somehow, miraculously, God moved through you. How amazing would it be for that person? How amazing would it be for you? How overjoyed would God be that he got to deliver healing through your life? How amazing would that be? And I know, you guys, that you might be thinking, but what if it doesn't work? What if I step out and I say, could I pray for you right now? And the only thing that that person experiences, the fact that you took time out of your crazy, busy life to minister to them. What if the only thing that they experienced was your love and your care and your risk and your compassion? That's not that bad, is it? But you might say, no, Kevin, what I'm saying is, what if the very worst happens? What if the absolute worst case scenario happens? And that is that when I say, could I pray for you right now? They say, no, thanks. Well, I mean, if that happens, we nominate you for sainthood, of course. The story of your faith is told for generations. You get a badge of honor before God and man because you suffered for the kingdom. Are you catching my sarcasm here?
Yes.
My point is this. It's not that bad. It's not that bad, and it could be amazingly good. It might be good all around, so why not try? Why not offer yourself as a gift to someone who needs a healing touch? This happened to me just last night. A golf buddy who is not a Christian, I found out that he has an aneurysm in his hip. He's got a tumor, benign tumor behind his eye. It just came out of nowhere. And so I called him right away as soon as I found out. And I, at the end of the conversation, I said, hey, his name is Joe. Pray for Joe. I said, Joe, could I pray for you? And he said, sure. I've never had a spiritual conversation with this man in my life, but I prayed for him, and I know that he was blessed, and I pray that God moves through that prayer in Joe's life. We have presence of healing to give if we will be courageous enough and loving enough to step out. We have one more. Heartening. Heartening was my hardest one. I needed that last H. Here's what I mean by heartening. Heartening is to build up the heart. It's to build up people's heart. It's to give the heart courage. And so we could do that all kinds of ways. But the first thing, the first area of heartening, I think, would be just to literally give encouragement, to cheer someone on, to make them feel supported, to make them feel like they can do it, like they actually are able to. I mean, how often is it that someone comes alongside and says, man, I'm so proud of you. You're doing so good. I'm really with you. I'm really impressed with your journey. I'm really impressed with how diligent you are, or how God's been moving your life, or how you took care of that person. Just a word of encouragement. Build encouragement builds a heart. There's another facet of heartening, and that is to give hope. To give hope. Heartening is helping people in their journey, because so often when we're like fighting the good fight, we can't see the forest for the trees. And giving hope is telling somebody, I see where you've been, and I see where you are now. And I see a hopeful future for you. You're not where you once were. God is at work in your life. How many people around us need some hope and need someone to step away and say, believe me, man, God is at work in your life. He is all over you. I can see a destination for you where God is going to have a breakthrough in your life. People need that type of hope. And number three, the last little bit of heartening is to give people resilience. To say, man, I know that the journey is hard. I know the journey is long, but you have staying power. God is at work here. You're going to make it through. Let me bolster you. Let me walk with you in this season. Let me walk with you in this journey. Our hearts need courage. Our hearts need to be built up. You're surrounded by people. Everyone would be blessed, and you have it to give. We have hugs, we have help, we have healing, and we have heartening. And what I love about this, you guys, is that this is so joyful. It is so fun, and this is awesome. You can do this, whether you're like a super on fire, super mature Christian, if you're like just anointed by the Holy Spirit. Your gift to the world, the present that you unwrap, can be so dripping with the presence of God. It could just be oozing the Holy Spirit. But if you're a person that is kind of learning to walk with Christ, if you're like checking this out, this could be equally powerful. It might look a little bit different in your life, but this could be powerful even through you. It doesn't matter who you are. God can move through you, and he can heal through you. And so as we spend so much time, as I wrap up here, focusing on all of the accoutrement of Christmas, all of the peripheral things, all of the shopping and all of the stuff, I want to encourage you not just to focus on the Christmas story. I want to challenge you to become the Christmas story, to enter into the story, to become the gift of God that gets unwrapped, that he gets to give to a world who so desperately needs it. Become that story. Amen? All right, I have, I want to pray over you a little bit, and I have just a little thing that I want you to consider. Why don't we stand up for ministry time here?